This is Morning Edition on KACU. I'm Heather Claiborne. Last year, Abilene's Animal Services received four positive rabies results during the spring. Officials recently announced the first positive rabies test for 2018, a skunk, which is the most common strain found in this area. The disease is passed through saliva, wounds from a bite, or through contact with a mucous membrane. The biggest threat is to pets who could come into contact with an infected animal, but rabies also poses a danger to humans. Brandy Walsh joins me now in the studio. Walsh is Health Administrative Specialist with the Abilene-Taylor County Public Health Department. I want to start by getting an understanding of the threat to humans. If someone's bitten or comes into contact with a rabid animal, it's vital that that person seek treatment.
For humans, we want to administer vaccine and medication within 10 days of possible exposure. Even if they're bitten by a positive animal, they may not contract the virus. But if they do, and they do not receive treatment, rabies is fatal, 100%.
Now, we do not administer a vaccine for rabies to humans on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I've heard that other countries do commonly vaccinate people and children for rabies.
So a really interesting fact is that most of the fatal cases reported of human contracted rabies in the United States, and I think in the last decade there was 23 cases reported where people died, they contracted outside the U.S. So they travel, they go to India, Asia, China, South America, where rabies is much more common, as in every other animal has it. In China, rabies vaccinations are part of their childhood immunizations. And I've seen, actually, immigrants that come through. They'll have these really large paper records, and you will see these children, and they've had an entire series of rabies vaccination. They're completely vaccinated against it.
So when you take a look at response locally, do you get very many people who are seeking treatment, who are reporting bites?
In 2017, I had over 50 cases just in this region.
And so what did you do?
So we have a protocol. Usually I'm notified by state or animal control, sometimes the sheriff's department. And we contact the people. We go over the information. There are steps to take. So they need to contact their physician. They need to seek medical treatment. Prescriptions have to be written a certain way. There's paperwork to be filled out for state. And I fill their scripts like a pharmacy does. I've seen some of the strangest things. The encounters and the exposures that I've seen are just left field. Just last week, I had an animal come through the dog door of the patient and started to mess with the patient's pet, woke them up, and they stepped on it, and it bit them. And they did everything they were supposed to do, so they contacted the right authorities. They were able to handle the specimen appropriately and restrain it, but it did test positive. So this patient is receiving post-exposure. So, I mean, right in your backyard, right into your home, if you're not securing everything properly, they're not afraid. It is a neurological disease, so these animals are not behaving like they would naturally.
And are there things that people can do to protect their children? Are there vaccines if someone was, you know, living in a rural area and concerned that they wanted their children to play outside, but concerned that there might be contact with a wild animal?
So the best thing to do is practice what you preach. Teach your children to identify strange animals. Stay away from them. Don't pet strange dogs. Don't pick up little kittens or cute little baby animals they find in the bushes, stay within their own yards and their own fences. And I know that can kind of sound restrictive, but we are living in West Texas in a rural area that does have this disease prominent in the area. It's here, and it infects just about every skunk we encounter. We really want people to play it safe. So if you see an injured animal, dog, cat, deer, goat, I mean, we've tested everything. Call animal control. These people are all pre-vaccinated against this disease. So they are equipped to handle these matters.
We have a wide variety of landscapes and environments, from really urbanized to prairies and hills and all different types of places that people vacation and engage with nature. I mean, what does the statewide picture look like for rabies?
It's very broad. If in the northern half of Texas, Panhandle region, Austin, Dallas, you see skunks. Skunks are primary your culprit. In the southern mid, so southern Austin, down San Antonio, Del Rio, Houston, you see bats. So if you look at statewide, it's split between skunks and bats. But in between all of that, you've got foxes, bobcats. Back in 2016, I was looking at some statistics, and they even tested a bush buck and a black rhinoceros on a reserve.
When you think about the state, what seems to drive the occurrence of rabies statewide? I mean, does it respond to drought or different things like that?
So springtime is usually what we call rabies season, just because animals are more out and about. They're interacting with each other more. But mild winters, so they're out seeking more food than normal. They're not hibernating long enough. There's much more contact. Because skunks are solitary animals. But when they're competing for food, they come into contact with themselves. Domestic pets, they start to come into inner city to find more food, just like foxes do. Drought especially affects them because if there is no water out there, they're going to come to the city, more populated areas, to find that water. So we're going to come into contact with them. Our pets are going to come into contact with them. They're going to come into contact with each other. So it creates sort of like a breeding pool.
And how many calls have you had this spring in your office?
Probably about a dozen.
Is that normal or is that above normal?
It's a little high, but I mean, last year was also a little high. It seems to be increasing a little bit. I mean, overall, rabies has gone down. So we are combating it. And the number one defense is people keeping their animals vaccinated.
So if someone does come into contact with a wild animal or have a concern, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
For non-emergency cases, we do have a website, abilenetx.gov. You can actually search animal bite, and it will actually bring up a wonderful pictograph, basically, of what to do in the case of a cat or dog bite, a wild animal bite, and it has phone numbers on there, contact information. It really is a great source of information on how to get a hold of animal control, the sheriff's departments, non-emergency numbers, that kind of thing. So it'd give civilians a clear idea of what they should do next.
All right. Well, we will put that on our website as well at kacu.org. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Brandi Walsh is Health Administrative Specialist with the Abilene-Taylor County Public Health Department. I'm Heather Claiborne for KACU.